Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas. You are very, very welcome to St. Stephen's Green Unitarian Church. Welcome to everyone who was watching and listening on our webcam, and welcome to you if you are listening to us on our recordings page on the website. So my name is Gavin Byrne, and I am a member of this congregation, and I have the immense privilege of leading our Christmas Day service. Our opening words. Today we celebrate the birth of a child who became our inspiration. As we live through the shortest days and the longest nights, we know that many struggle through war, hunger, poverty, and hate. The hope of this child who can trouble our conscience, but whose story challenges us to live a full life, free to believe, free to question, free to love, but always reminds us to care for one another in ways that we would wish others to care for us. This Christmas Day, our different paths come together in this holy place. Graced by the history of our free religious heritage, let us be mindful of the forces deep within us, which call us to be more than we are. And so we pray. May this hour bring joy and renewal, comfort and challenge. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know that we are not isolated beings, but that we are connected in mystery and in wonder to each other, to this community, and to the universe. We now light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, in celebration, in searching, and in love. For everything there is a season, a time to die and a time to be born. With the arrival of winter's low, dark sky, we look to the miracle of light as a sign of rebirth and a source of joy. We celebrate the promise of new life and recommit ourselves to the protection of everyone's right to his or her own radiant humanity following the inspiration of Jesus. So our first hymn this morning is, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let us pray. Mystery of life and source of love and beauty, in the depths of winter, we gather to celebrate the gift of Christmas. We come to this place from unique places and situations. We come with doubts and disbelief, as often as we come with certainty or expectation. But we come with joy, hope, and gratitude, as often as we come with despair, sorrow, and helplessness. In whatever spirit you arrive at this moment of sharing together with the greater mystery that surrounds us all, let us all be together, feeling our neighbor's love and compassion, extending the same to others, and receiving God's gift of acceptance. Amen. Our first reading this morning will be read now by Dennis Conway.
Good morning. I'm going to read a poem by Patrick Kavanagh, which I was brought up a rural Catholic, and I find this poem just beautiful. Kavanagh wrote this poem when he was living on his own in a bedsit in Dublin at Christmas time. One side of the potato pits was white with frost. How wonderful that was. How wonderful. And when we put our ears to the paling post, the music that came out was magical. The light between the ricks of hay and straw was a hole in heaven's gable, an apple tree with its December glinting fruit we saw. Oh, you, Eve, were the world that tempted me. To eat the knowledge that grew in clay, and death, the germ within it, now and then I can remember something of the gay garden that was childhood's again. The tracks of cattle to a drinking place, a green stone lying sideways in a ditch, or any common sight, the transfigured face of a beauty that the world did not touch. My father played the melodeon outside at our gate. There were stars in the morning east, and they danced to his music. Across the wild bogs, his melodeon called to Lennon's and Callan's. As I pulled on my trousers in a hurry, I knew some strange thing had happened. Outside in the cowhouse, my mother made the music of milking. The light of her stable lamp was a star, and the frost of Bethlehem made it twinkle. A water hen screeched in the bog. Mass-going feet crunched the wafer ice on the potholes. Somebody wistfully twisted the bellows wheel. My child poet picked out the letters on the grey stone. In silver, the wonder of a Christmas townland, the winking glitter of a frosty dawn. Cassiopeia was over Cassidy's hanging hill. I looked and three wind bushes rode across the horizon, the three wise kings. An old man passing said, "Can't he make it talk?" The melodeon. I hid in the doorway and tightened the belt of my box-pleated coat. I nicked six nicks on the doorpost with my penknife's big blade. There was a little one for cutting tobacco, and I was six Christmases of age. My father played the melodeon, my mother milked the cows, and I had a prayer like a white rose pinned on the Virgin Mary's blouse.
Thank you, Dennis. So at this time of the service, we have our children's and young people's story. So I invite all the young people and children to come to the front of the church for the story. And we've got a gift for you afterwards. Our story today is called A Winter Solstice Story. So who knows what the solstice is? Yes. the darkest day of the year, the lightest day of the year. Brilliant, because there's a summer solstice as well, which is the lightest day of the year, and the winter solstice is the darkest day of the year. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay, so once upon a time, on a frosty December night, a group of little fairies huddled in their home deep under the roots of a giant oak tree. They were safe and they were warm. Outside, the wind blew cold and snow covered the ground. "I saw the Sun King today," the fairy named Rose said, "but he looked so old and tired as he walked off through the forest." "The great oak tree, he's dying," answered. "The great oak said he's dying," answered her little sister Daffodil. "Dying? Oh, what will we do now?" Little Tulip started to cry. "If the Sun King dies, our plant friends will not grow. The birds will not come and sing again. Everything will be winter forever." Rose and Daffodil tried to comfort their sister, but they were all very, very sad. And as they huddled together, there was a knock on the tiny door of the great oak tree. "Hello, fairies," cried out a loud voice. "Why are you hiding instead of joining in our forest celebration?" "It's the winter solstice," he cried. Rose opened the door and a little gnome pushed inside, shaking the glistening snowflakes off his coat and his hat. "We are too sad to celebrate," Daffodil said, wiping her eyes. "The Sun King is dying, haven't you heard?" "The Sun King is dead," Brother Gnome said, his round dark eyes sparkling with laughter. "Now hurry or you'll be late for the celebration." "How can you be happy and laughing?" Rose frowned at the gnome. "If the Sun King is dead, it will be winter forever. We will never see the sun again." "Oh, little child fairies," the gnome reached for Rose's hand. "There is a secret to the winter solstice." So the three fairies looked at him in surprise. "Secret?" they said. "What secret?" "Well, come and see, come and see." Brother Gnome danced and jigged around the room. "Hurry, hurry, don't be slow. To the ancient oak grove together we shall grow." And he danced out of the door and disappeared. "What did Brother Gnome mean?" Rose asked as he gathered up her cloak. "I don't know, but perhaps if we go, we will see what Brother Gnome was talking about," answered Tulip as she pulled on her hat. The fairies left their warm home and trudged off through the snow through the ancient oak grove. It was dark and it was a freezing cold night. They flew through the ice wind until they came across their friend, the fox. "Where are you going, fairies?" asked the fox. "To the ancient grove," they answered, shivering. "Well, climb on my back, warm yourselves in my fur. I will take you there swiftly." So the fox knelt down so the fairies could climb up. Then he raced off through the dark. "Listen," Tulip said, as they neared the grove of ancient trees. "Someone is singing happy songs, a lot of someones." The beautiful music carried over the cold, still, moonlit air. It was the most beautiful music the sisters have ever heard. The fox carried the little fairies right through a spiral of three trees, right to the center of the grove. Then they knelt down. "Why, the whole forest must be here," said the little fairies as they slid to the snow-covered ground. "They are all smiling, they're all happy," said Rose as they looked around at the woodland creatures. The little fairies moved closer until their eyes laid on what was at the very center of the grove. "A baby," the fairies cried. "A new little baby. Look how he glows." "He is the newborn Sun King," said the fox, smiling. "But Brother Gnome said the Sun King was dead," the fairy said. "How can this little baby be the Sun King?" "Well, that is the great secret of the winter solstice. Every year, the Sun King must come to the ancient grove during the darkest days of winter, where he dies, but he receives new life again. The fairies laughed. They were so happy. The winter would come to an end after all. So the fairies sang to the baby Sun King songs of the coming spring, the sweet-smelling flowers, the bumbling bees, and all the secrets of the forest during the long days of summer. And all the creatures within the grove sang with them. Then Mr. Fox took them back to their snug home under the roots of the giant oak tree, where they dreamed wonderful dreams, waiting for the warmth of spring and the fun they would have with the little Sun King. Thank you. Now, so that's our story for the solstice. So we have a gift for you all. So I'm going to ask Denise, our chairperson, to help me give these out. That everyone? We'll get you after, okay? And any of the older children, we'll get you after. So now let's sing together, Away in a Manger. And now our second reading will be read by our minister, Reverend Bridget Spain.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas. This year, 1 year, I didn't receive many Christmas cards. And it was one fetid February afternoon, this trouble-making realization actually hit me. It came suddenly out of the back room of my head that is the source of much useless information. I think I needed some reason to feel crummy that day, and there it was. I didn't say anything about this. I thought, I can take it, I'm tough. I won't complain when my cheap friends don't even care enough to send me a stupid Christmas card. I can do without tacky love, right? However, every now and then the thought would resurface and make me feel lousy. Then the following August, I was tidying the attic, trying to establish some order in the mess, and I found, stacked in with the Christmas decorations, a whole box of unopened greeting cards from the previous Christmas. I had tossed them into the box to open at leisure, but then I ran out of leisure in the shambles of the usual Christmas panic. So the cards got caught up in a binnet and stuffed into the attic and straighten it out next year syndrome. So I hold the box down, and on a hot summer's day, in the middle of August, mind you, in my bathing suit, sitting on a lawn chair on my deck with sunglasses, a quart of iced tea, and a puzzled frame of mind, I began to open the Christmas cards. Just to help, I had put a tape of Christmas cards on the portable stereo, and I cranked up the volume and thought, Merry Christmas. I opened the envelope and set them out on the deck. Here it all was: angels, snow, wise men, candles, pine boughs, horses and sleighs, the Holy Family, elves and Santa. Heavy messages about love and joy and peace and goodwill. If that wasn't enough, there were all these lovely handwritten messages of affection from my chief friends who had, in fact, come through for Christmas. I cried. Seldom have I felt so bad and so good at the same time. Wonderfully rotten, elegantly sad, and melancholy and nostalgic. As fate always seems to have it, I was discovered in this condition by a neighbour who had been attracted to the scene by the sound of Christmas caroling. She laughed, I showed her the cards, she got weepy, I got weepy, and we had this outrageous Christmas celebration right there on my deck in the middle of August, singing along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to the final mighty strains of O Holy Night. What can I say? I guess wonder and awe are always there somewhere in the attic of one's mind. And it doesn't take a lot to set it off. And much about Christmas is outrageous, whether it comes to you in December or August. And the reading is by the lovely Unitarian writer, Robert Fulghum.
So our meditation will be followed by some silence, which will be brought to an end by me joining the choir at the back for In the Bleak Midwinter. At all times and in every lifetime, we hear it said, we are living through troubled times, and this time is no different. From Gaza to Ukraine and our own city, we know the world can seem torn apart. Let us not look away, but resolve to do something. But first, we bring to mind our struggles and our joys. We bring to mind the healing we need and the healing we can give. We bring to mind those we love and those we struggle to love. Let us give ourselves this day the gift of compassion, for with compassion, healing, understanding, and goodness may flourish. Thank you, choir. So, this is Christmas and it is solstice, two events which have very similar messages and are profoundly meaningful. But first, I want to ask you, from where does your Christmas spirit come from? Is it from the nativity stories in the Gospels? Is it more Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, who, incidentally, in life identified with Unitarianism, where the message is tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future? Or perhaps you are solstice-centered, more pagan, than traditional Christian. And of course, I like all three. Christmas tends to bring out in us acts of kindness, which I think emanate from the divine spark, which is within all of us. It is no accident that the new Christian sect chose this time of the year to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. It is the time when the sun shines the least, in the northern hemisphere at least. It is the time when the coldest and darkest season is coming to an end. Warmth is slowly returning. The sun sets even later and rises ever earlier. And despite the darkness, this time of year is full of hope and full of promise, for it heralds the coming spring, the promise of brighter days and new life sprouting from the earth. The light is indeed overcoming the darkness, and how blessed are we to have such dramatic changes in our seasons. So it is fitting that we celebrate at this time of the year, and we mark it with songs and gatherings, rich food and gifts, family and friends. But at the same time, we may feel some unbearable sadness when not everyone we love is near to us. Christmas can bring with it pain, loneliness, even regret, so much so that many wish it away, trying desperately to avoid those ads on the telly depicting perfect family joy and singing, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." And also many will spend these days in grinding poverty, unable to give or even receive joy. We should acknowledge that there are two different accounts of the birth of Jesus in Scripture, but never mind. I was taught what is important is that it is the story of God coming into the world to save us from sin. But the two accounts are told in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, and Matthew has the Holy Family going from Bethlehem to Nazareth, whereas Luke has them starting out in Nazareth and ending up in Bethlehem. Matthew has the Magi, the three kings, where Luke makes no mention of them, but does tell us about shepherds. And there are other significant differences. The nativity is not told in either Mark or John, but what is common in both is that Jesus has a mom and a dad who were poor and struggled with the rest of their community, with the inequalities and the oppressive Roman Empire that ruled them. It is suggested that Jesus was brown-skinned, undocumented, and he was an immigrant. His community struggled against the ungodly and oppressive religious authorities at the time. And Jesus came to know these people very, very well, and in the end, they presided over his death. So at the center of the Christmas season is the birth of Jesus. But is this what you are celebrating today? As we heard yesterday, the Puritans outlawed this festival, and they are part of our Unitarian history. They objected to the singing and the dancing, the drinking, the rich food that became synonymous with Christmas. But is there an elephant in the room for Unitarians, or should I say baby in the room? Born of a virgin, spoken of by the prophets, God incarnate, Hosanna in the highest. But I don't think so. The story of the birth of Jesus is theology, not history. We honor the story, and we do so at this most special time of the year, which is also the time when we watch for the returning warmth of the sun and the slow emergence of wild flowers. I hold that it is a celebration of the birth of a rebel, a troublemaker, a man spoken of the prophets whose lyrics and stories are told in the Old Testament. It is widely claimed, taught, and believed that Jesus' birth, his life and his teaching, indeed his death, was foretold in the Old Testament, and that Joseph, Jesus' father, was a direct descendant of King David. The Bible is, of course, a library of books, stories written over the course of some 4,000 years by people as diverse as the people of the earth itself. That library of books were chosen as an account of God's relationship with this planet and all who live upon it. And that library was agreed at a number of church councils at the end of the 4th century in the Common Era. Just a small amount of history, just a small bit of history. So the Council of Nivea was in 325 of the Common Era. And that was the first gathering of Christian leaders in order to get consensus about belief. And it famously dealt with the widespread belief, and indeed heresy, that Jesus was human and not divine, or rather that he did not have a divine nature identical with that of the Father. It also dealt with the other heresy, that God was unity rather than Trinity. So Unitarian ideas go back a long, long way. But at Nicaea, we have the very first uniform Christian doctrine called the Nicene Creed, and it is spoken in both Roman Catholic and Protestant churches every Sunday. And you know it. It begins, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Now, it affirms the divinity of Jesus and the Trinitarian nature of God. One of the arguments was that the invisible and unknowable God, who he was for the Jewish people, had to reveal himself in a man, in the baby Jesus, so that we might receive an idea of God. And once this was accepted by the civil authorities and the monarchs, it dominated all theology for centuries. Despite this and the persecutions over the centuries, our belief in the unity and oneness of God and in the humanity of Jesus remains. We don't concern ourselves with dogmas or doctrines, but we do honor the stories and the wisdom that continue to emerge in our search for truth. So this is Christmas and this is solstice. We can celebrate joyfully like the fairies who came to witness the death and rebirth of the sun. We celebrate the story recounted in Luke, as read at our carol service, the birth of a rebel and a troublemaker who took on the religious authorities of his time and who serves as an inspiration for us on how we might love. He was born into poverty, and he was killed like a common criminal. We don't have any eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. The Gospel authors did not write history. They wrote theology. And I suspect if there was, they would say, "His love was so powerful, it gifted the most maligned in society with healing, with dignity, with hope and faith, that life does indeed have meaning and purpose. He also taught us that God is neither bound by tradition or impressed by protocol. Islam believes Jesus was a prophet and a messenger from God. The error we hold is that we need to develop a complicated set of dogmas and doctrines, rules and confessions, in order to be worthy of the Creator's love." So finally, there is one piece of wisdom common among the great philosophies and theologies ever uttered since the beginning of time, the Golden Rule, spoken first by Confucius. "Love one another. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. Refrain from inflicting pain upon one another, because all the rest is just commentary." Amen, and happy Christmas. Let us sing now our third hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." our notices. First, I would like to say, if you'd like to contribute to our services in the new year, other than the first reading, please speak to me or our minister, Bridget Spain. So you may like to give an address. You may like to lead the prayers or the meditation. So we encourage, we have an open pulpit, and we encourage everyone to contribute in a way that they would like to. Someone left 4 jars of jam and a pair of gloves after the carol service, and I have them here, okay? If not, I'm bringing the jam home. So all of our collection money this Christmas is going to and has gone to the Capuchin Day Centre, and you know them well. They provide much needed support to those experiencing poverty and homelessness. And so far, between yesterday and the carol service, we have collected €2,200. And today we will contribute whatever is collected today to that as well. And we have already given over 100 pairs of pajamas and countless hats and gloves, which is what the Capuchin Day Centre asked us to contribute. So that's been done. And thank you to everyone who contributed. So I think now we will take up that collection for the Capuchin Day Centre. Thank you. As a community, we like to take an opportunity to thank everyone who has contributed and continues to contribute to the life of the church in 2023. So I invite Denise Dunn, our chairperson, to do that now. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you to Gavin for today's lovely service and to everyone who was involved. Just to say, I think I spot one person I missed with the gift cards, and if there's anyone else I missed, please let us know. We would hate anyone to go home without any of the children to go home without their gift cards. So I just want to say thank you. As Gavin says, our community is brought together by everyone who's here. I don't want to risk forgetting any individuals, so there's only a couple that I'm going to name. But I do want to say thank you to everyone who's part of the life of our church. We are a fabric and a community, and we have people who are here every Sunday, most Sundays, some Sunday, the odd Sunday, people who join us on the webcam. And you're all a vital and important part of who we are. Our volunteers are incredible. You serve on our rotas, our committees, our clubs. You give so generously of your time, your skills and talents, and that it's those time and skill and talents that bring our church to life. So the very few people that I would like to mention are Josh, who brings beautiful music to our services, and the choir, who are so gorgeous at our services. Kevin, who might come in and say hello, but you will see every time you are here, who welcomes everyone and who takes such good care of the church here for us. And of course, Bridget, who I don't know what else to say to her or about her other than she is our most perfect Bridget. So thank you to everyone, our Unitarian Church St. Stephen's Green community. Happy Christmas.
So let us sing our final hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Our final blessing. Mystery of life and source of love and beauty, thank you for all the goodness and kindness we have received this Christmas season. Let us share that goodness and kindness to strangers so that our world can become a more just and peaceful place. Thank you for the freedom to express our faith and search for the truth. And may we share that spirit with all who seek to nourish their lives with hope. Happy Christmas. Amen.